One of the most inspiring and beautiful psalms in the Bible is Psalm 8. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God, and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then from the New Testament, Hebrews 11, only 3 verses. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Here ends our scripture reading. May God's Spirit help and guide us to understand what we read this morning. My friends, yesterday evening, a large group of our church family attended an evening prayer service in a nearby mosque in Melbourne. We went there as invited guests, and there we witnessed in silence and with respect, with how much conviction and devotion the Muslims practice their faith. I couldn't help but to think for a moment, when the men were all lined up in prayer, what caught my attention was their sons were standing beside their fathers, and they followed what Daddy did, and they are still so small. Then my mind went back when we served the church in the Netherlands for 5 years. We had a little town where our church was, over 1,000 years old, very narrow streets. We couldn't drive all the way to church. So my wife and I had our bicycles, and I still had to wear a black suit and a white tie in those days. And then we would take that little road, me in front, the three bigger boys behind us in one line, and Tinka last with Freddie on the back of the bicycle. And that's how we went to church every morning for 5 years. And just last night when I saw this, I thought, wow, my sons also followed their daddy when they were young. It was for me a beautiful moment. But for the Muslims and for us, this was a huge step forward. For the first time, we were talking with and not about one another. And it struck me that the first moment that they had the opportunity to say something to all of us as a group, guess what they said? Their opening statement was, "We don't support terrorism. We feel alike." And I got tears in my eyes. And I thought by myself, thank you, God, that we were there so that they could say it to us. before we judged them wrongly. That made it a beautiful moment. The Jewish faith, the Muslims, and all Christianity have one basic belief in common. We are all monotheistic, meaning that we believe there is only one God. And whether we say Yahweh, Allah, or God, we are addressing the same deity. The difference is how our respective cultural, historical, and religious backgrounds brought about the very different conclusions about exactly what and how we believe in God. There is a quick fictional story that may just illustrate it all. A certain group of scientists decided that humankind no longer need God. So therefore they had a conference and they chose one scientist to go and tell God that they were through with God, now and forever. So the scientist went and he said, God, we have advanced to where we can clone people by ourselves. We've learned to do many miraculous things. So we concluded, we decided that we no longer need you. We can do without you. So God listened patiently and finally replied, very well, if you say so, then let's have a people-making contest. Good idea, the scientist said. But, God said, we'll do it just like I did back in the good old days. Oh, no problem, the scientist said, bending down and grabbing a handful of dirt. Oh, no, said God, you go get your own dirt. Is it possible to define God? I checked early this morning. There are currently more than 4,820 web pages on the internet dealing with humankind's efforts to define God. After the events of 9/11, the entire world's attention turned to the faith and the message of Islam. And before long, we realized that many different images of God exist also within the Islamic faith. Islam has as many images of a just and tender God as we have in our Bible. And also within our own Bible, we find radical differences and different interpretations of God. And through the ages, some ignorant people even invented extra excuses and images for God when they could not explain one or other tragic happening. And in the process, they inadvertently created more and more imagined images and interpretations of God. For instance, is God really a power that will kill an innocent child because he cannot do without her in heaven any longer? Would God really tear my mother from my heart because he wants a new rose in his heavenly garden? Well meant, but man-made wrong images of God. And they may be well-intentioned, but they are bad and unimaginative arguments. Each one of us carries a picture of God in our hearts and in our minds. And the picture that you and I carry is the result, not of a personal confrontation with God, but of a variety of factors that accumulated to create that image. The image that you and I carry of God often consists of what someone taught us, maybe when we were still very little, or maybe some event that took place, or something that we heard from others. So we know that people grow up with all sorts of notions of what God is like. And if people could be honest, and that's very difficult, and if you could get them to speak to you with full confidence and tell you exactly, if they could paint God's picture, what would they paint? Many people, when you see the picture, you will discover they see God as a fearful and a terrible enemy. And somehow they are at war with God and with the image of God that they carry deep within themselves. And they find no peace, and they learn no peace. Others, if you analyze it, you will discover that their creation or their image of God is that of a strict, stern policeman, maybe with a book of laws in his pocket, and always watching, always looking at us with fierce eyes to tell us exactly where we went wrong and what God was going to do about it. Many people grew up and they grow old with the faulty image of God as a policeman. And for others, sadly, if they draw their picture, you will learn that they understand God to be something of an abusive parent that would allow and do horrible things to people to teach them a lesson. And that's the image that people grow up with and grow old with, and many people die and they never come to know God. God. For many people, talk with them. They can try to be honest with you, and you will have to conclude that they rather choose not to think about those things. They do not see a picture of God at all, and if they ever listened, they only heard silence, God's silence. Now, the fact that we all have different images and understandings of God would not really matter that much. We can explain it. We understand how it happened. And it would be okay if it was not for the huge influence that your and my God picture has on everything that we say and do. I've met people in my life, good people, great people, But after a few hours discussion, there emerged from behind their way of speaking the image that they carry of God. And often, it's an amazing, sometimes a shocking picture. You will know what I'm talking about if I tell you that there are parents who have murdered their innocent children because of the distorted image of God that they carry on the inside that brought them to a wicked deed. Nations even went to war because their leaders conceived the notion that that is what their image of God wanted them to do. How then do we deal with this product of our upbringing and our background so that we can know fulfillment and that our soul can find rest in God? Well, for us as Christians, there is the Jesus perspective of God. Because through the life, the teachings, the offer on Golgotha, the victory over death, and the example of Jesus Christ, we build our faith upon Jesus, and we call Him the Prince of Peace. We call Him Lord, and many of us call Him my Savior. And that's where our image, I believe with all my heart, our true image of God begins. Oh yes, the gospel of Jesus Christ provides us with a God image. But even so, as you and I know from personal experience, there comes times in our lives when we still wrestle with sincere questions about the true meaning of life. Have you ever reached a crossroad in your life? I certainly have, where you had to ask the question, now why do I exist? What am I doing here? Deep moments, difficult to talk about, where we wonder, what is the meaning and what is the calling of my life? At times, especially when confronted with our own frailty and the uncertainty of life, most of us reach a point when we simply have to ask serious questions. Is there, and that we can only whisper, is there really a God? What's the meaning of life? And that's where faith comes in. Our Christian Bible points to faith as the source for an answer. And that was our earlier scripture reading from Hebrews 3, saying, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. One really has to repeat it a number of times in your own mind to grasp the fullness. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Because like us, the early Christians needed to know that there was something bigger to their lives than the doubts of perplexity and the mysteries of experience that seemed to pummel them all the time. Because you see, life means to you and me more than only our experiences. It has to. For the earliest Jewish Christians, the meaning of their lives was bigger than the temple, bigger than the sacrifices they used to bring, bigger than a legal code. Faith, says Scripture, is the conviction of things not seen. So as Christians, we discover the meaning of our lives in the New Testament. God revealed to us, we believe with all our hearts, in and through Jesus Christ. We believe in God because God gives ultimate meaning to our lives. We were thirsty and hungry. We were spiritually starving. Till one day, we found and surrendered to God. We were born with a hunger in our souls, a hunger for meaning, a hunger for purpose, a hunger to make sense out of our lives. And that's why life became a pilgrimage for us. A difficult question, and I wondered whether I should even phrase it. But I know I have to ask, do you find the meaning of your life in your personal faith in God? Because you see, many Christians seem to be playing a game. And in this game, God is the scorekeeper, and they have to make the grade. A game they're playing with God. Some from their birth to their last day on earth. Don't you see? Don't you know? Don't you understand that you can never find God on the scorecard of your own accomplishments? We believe in God because God gives meaning to our empty lives when we did not know where else to turn. We discovered God when we needed God, and God proved Himself to us. And we know that we can only love God because God first loved us. And I believe we can only love others, live with others, understand others, when we make God's love the language of our own personal lives. People across the world share the need to discover the way back to God. The need to discover the true meaning of their lives. The need to discover the way home placed in all our hearts. And sometimes when I read Psalm 8 about the wonders of God's universe, I'm reminded of maybe the most moving true poem that I ever heard. Some of you know it by heart. It's called The Soldier's Prayer. It goes like this. Look, God, I've never spoken to you, but now I want to say, how do you do? You see, God, they told me you did not exist. And like a fool, I believed all of this. Last night from a shell hole, I saw your sky. I figured right then they had told me a lie. Had I taken the time to see the things you made, I would know they weren't calling a spade a spade. I wonder, God, if you would shake my hand. Somehow I feel that you will understand. Strange I had to come to this hellish place. before I had time to see your face. Well, I guess there isn't much more to say, but I'm sure glad, God, I met you today. I guess the 0 hour will soon be here, but I'm not afraid, since I know you are near. The signal. Well, God, I will have to go. I love you lots. This I want you to know. Looks like this will be a horrible fight. Who knows? I may come to your house tonight. Though I wasn't friendly with you before, I wonder, God, if you would wait at the door. Look, I'm crying, me shedding tears. I wish I had known you these many years. Well, I have to go now, God. Goodbye. Strange, since I met you, I am not afraid to die. Amen.